Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back, Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our special Sunday morning shiur with the Five Towns Farakli Virtual Base Medrash. Today's shiur is dedicated, 1 minute please, by Susan Sokol in the memory of her father. His yahrzeit is today. Today's shiur is Lilui Nishmas Tzvi Ben Yitzchak Meir HaKohen. Alav HaShalom, may the neshama have an aliyah in the merit of the Torah learning that we will share today. I decided to focus on going back to a lesson learned from the life of Rabbi Akiva, actually, a topic that we have been exploring over the past few weeks with some days and shiurim of exception. And I think today's topic is always relevant and relevant for the time period in which we live, when we see the world around us going up in flames. The pun is intended. And there is so much instability. There is so much terror, literally. There is so much upheaval and there is so much chaos. And if these past few months have taught us anything, it's that the only thing that matters in life is a life of Torah and mitzvos. Everything else is hevel havalim. There is nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself. And the only meaning that one can derive in life is a life lived through constant dedication to Torah, mitzvos, and gemilas chasadim. Each one of these pillars corresponds to one of the patriarchs. Torah corresponds to Yaakov, Ishtam, Yoshev, Ohalim. Avoda, Karbano, slash Tfila corresponds to Yitzchak, the Ola Tamima, and Gemilas Chesed corresponds to Avraham Avinu. And without living a life dedicated to these three things, of course, this is the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, there is no meaning in life. Everything that society worships and idolizes, Rechmana Litzlan, and reveres and chases after, we have seen these past few months that they mean absolutely nothing. When the world is in chaos, we realize that the only way to bring meaning to our lives, the lives of our family, the lives of our children, the lives of our community, is through a life dedicated to Torah. So I'm going to begin in the Gemara. I'm in Maseches Brachos Samech Aleph Amud Beis, Brachos 61b. So the Gemara there tells us a maisa that happened with, once again, we're going back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who learned and who understood, beginning from the age of 40, that everything that people seek out in life is worthless without a life of Torah. So here we go. I'm quoting from the Gemara inside. Okay. Tanu Rabbana, the rabbis taught in a brisa. I have to look in the Gemara and look at you, so I'm going to do my best. Pam achas gazra malchus harasha. One time, we know that Rabbi Akiva lived at the time of the Churban. We already spoke about it in one of our shiurim. I'm coming up and seeing Har Habayis and tearing Kriya, and he was laughing and his colleagues were crying. So he lived at the time of Roman persecution. Pam achas gazra malchus harasha. One time, the wicked regime, the malchus harasha, the wicked kingdom, meaning the Roman government, came up with a decree. And not only do our enemies despise the Jews, halacha biyadua she'esav sona le'yakov, but in addition, they hate Torah, which is why you have Torah burnings, which is why we had Talmud burnings, the burning of the Gemara, which is why the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, desecrated the synagogues in addition to killing the people. So Pam Achas Gazra Malchus Harasha, one time the wicked regime, the wicked government, the Romans decreed Shelo Ya'asku Yisrael B'Torah, that the Bnei Yisrael should not be Zocha, they should not be able to, they should not be Osek, they should not involve themselves in it as an Asek, as a primary occupation, they should not learn Torah. So this is not new. Ein Chadash Tachas Hashemesh. It was in the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. It's in our time as well. In fact, Soloveitchik is a beautiful piece in The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways commentary in the Kinos Antisha B'Av. And he said in the beginning, the Romans thought that if they destroy the Beis HaMikdash and they destroy the Jewish Commonwealth in Eretz Yisrael and they take the Jews into Galus, then they will be successful in eradicating Am Yisrael. And something very strange happened. The Romans realized that even though, says the Rav, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and they destroyed the Jewish Commonwealth and Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, the Jews were still a very strong force and a strong nation. And the Romans came to realize that the cohesive force that holds Am Yisrael together is not the land, it's not a central location, it's not a government, it is rather Torah. And thus began the terrible persecution of the Romans against Torah Yisrael. They only realized if they thought, they believed, if they could eradicate Torah, then they would be able to destroy Knesset Yisrael, because they realized that after the Churban, the Jews were still strong. And what was giving us koach to go on was not a central government, but rather Torah. And then, says the Rav, began the persecution against Am Yisrael, specifically against learning Torah. So the Romans made a decree, Shelo Ya'asku Yisrael B'Torah, Israel should not learn Torah. Ba Papus Ben Yehuda, Umatzo l'Rabbi Akiva, shahaya makil kihilos b'rabim v'osek b'tor. I'm going to translate. A person named Pappus ben Yehuda came, and he found Rabbi Akiva, umatzo Rabbi Akiva, shahaya makil kihilos b'rabim. He was having large gatherings of public assemblies, v'osek b'tor. And what was Rabbi Akiva doing? He would gather people, he would gather large gatherings, he would hold assemblies, and he was teaching Torah. Who was Pappus ben Yehuda? So the Aretz Scroll footnote, again, in Maseches Brachos Samech Alef Amud Beis, the Aretz Scroll footnote tells us, the Gemara elsewhere in Maseches Tainis tells us of two brothers. One second, please. There was someone not muted. I just want to make sure. I don't know how that happened. I muted everyone. Okay, I muted them. Okay. There was, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, Maseches Tainis, okay, of two brothers, Pappus and Lulianus Alexandrian. They were executed by the Romans for crimes that they did not commit. Rashi there teaches the daughter of one of the emperors was found slain. So one of the Roman emperors, his daughter was found slain. And the Romans suspected the Jews were responsible for her death. There was a blood libel, and they threatened retribution against the entire community. To save the Jews, Pappus and Lulianus, who were innocent of the crime, stepped forward and they claimed responsibility. They said they killed the Roman emperor's daughter, even though this was not true. This Pappus of our Gemara is identified as the Pappus ben Yehuda who took responsibility for killing the Roman governor's emperor's daughter, even though he did not do so. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, identifies Pappus ben Yehuda of our Gemara, who was executed by the Romans, with the Pappus mentioned in Tainis, who took responsibility for killing the daughter to save the Jewish people. Interestingly, as is evident from the Gemara, Pappus was a great tzaddik. And you will see that he addresses Rabbi Akiva just as Akiva, not as Rabbi Akiva, which seems to teach us he was a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. So this Pappus ben Yehuda was very great. He was Moser Nefesh to save Am Yisrael. He took responsibility for killing the Roman emperor's daughter. Of course, this was before. So there's a decree that you can learn Torah. So he comes and he finds Rabbi Akiva. Shahaya makil kihilos berabim v'osek b'tor. Rabbi Akiva is having public gatherings and he's teaching Torah. Amar le. So Pappus said, Akiva. Akiva, I atam misyarei mipnei malchus, are you not afraid of the Romans? Are you not afraid of this terrible regime? Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva said, Emshalacha mashal, I will answer with a parable. Lema hadavar doma, I will tell you, you ask me if I'm afraid of the Romans, I'm teaching Torah, I will tell you a parable to answer your question, what is the matter comparable to? And you know, it's interesting because this is going to sound like, Wahavda alf alfei avdalos, Ribbono shel Olam, so forgive me, it's going to sound like a kid's book and it's going to sound like a story, you know, the moral of the story is, but it's very, very interesting that this is Divrei Chazal, Rabbi Akiva, the giant said, I will give you a mashal. To what is the matter comparable? L'shu'al shahaya mehaleich al gad. It's comparable to a fox, a shual. Interesting that we already spoke about it, that in the Makos, Rabbi Akiva's seeing the shualim hilchubo, and here it's also a shual. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva has a number of incidents with foxes. There was a fox that was walking along the river, v'ra'ad dagim shahayu mitkabtzi mimakom lemakom, and this fox saw fish, and they were gathering from place to place. They're swimming from one place, and then they're swimming to another place, and then to another place, and they're swimming all over the river in schools of fish. Amar lahem, so the fox said to the fish, mipnei ma atem borchim. Who are you swimming away from? Before whom are you fleeing? Amrulo, so the fish said to the fox, Mipnei rishasos shemivin aleinu bnei adam. You know why we're fleeing? Because there are nets that are cast into the river. Bnei adam, human beings come, and they cast nets into the river. We need to flee, and that's what we're fleeing from. Amar lahem, so the fox said, Ritzonchem shata'alu layabasha. I have a solution. You're worried about the nets. You want to come up onto the dry land. V'nadur anivatem, from the word dar, we will live, dalad resh. Nadur anivatem, me the fox and you the fish, we'll live together. Come out of the water. There are nets in the water, in the river. You're trying to flee from the nets. No problem. Come up. Amrlo, the fish said. This is a ludicrous suggestion. Atahu sha'ami malacha pikech shebechayos. You, the fox, are the one, pikech, open your eyes. You're the one that they say you're the cleverest, you're the smartest, you're most discerning. There's a reason we have an expression, the sly fox. Are you the most sly of all the animals? Lo pikech ata, ela tipesh ata. The fish say, you're not a pikech, baruch pokeach ivrim. You're not one who has sight, who has vision, who has the ability to discern reality. You're a tipesh. You're a fool. Uma b'mkam chiyoseinu anabis yareen, if in the place of our living, in the place that gives us chai in the water, we're afraid. B'mkam misaseinu alachas kama v'kama, in the place of our death, meaning on dry land where we have no water, we can't breathe, how much more so will we be afraid? So the fish said to the fox, you're a fool, you're a tipesh. You're ridiculous, you make no sense, you're not a pikeach. Who said you're the cleverest of all the animals? You want us to come out of the river? If we're afraid in the water, which is our life, and how much more so will we be afraid in the place of our death? Af anachnu, said Rabbi Akiva to Pappus, achshav she'anu yoshvim ve'oskim b'torah, now that we sit and we live and we involve ourselves in a life of Torah, she'kasubo, it says about the Torah in Sefer Devarim, ki hu chayecha ve'orach yamecha, the Torah is our life and the length of our days. What else do we have but Torah? Look at the world. Look at the world. Look at the news. Look what's going on around us. I ask you, is there any life besides for the MS of Torah? Is there any meaning in this world of Hevel Havalim besides for Torah? Yaakov Avinu, who teaches us. Avoda Yitzchak Avinu. Gemilas Chasadim Aram, the Bechinas Chazad. I ask you if anything in this world has meaning. Nothing. So Rabbi Akiva said, so to us. The Torah is Chayenu Va'orach Yameinu. It's the life and the length of our days. And nevertheless, we're in danger from Torah. We're in danger in our river. We're in danger in our environment. Imanu Hochim Umit Batim Yimene. If we go and we're Batal Torah, if we go and we jump on the Yabasha, Al Achas Kama V'Kama. Hamas more so, our lives will be in danger. We're already in danger. We're like the fish in the water. We're in danger in the water. You want us to jump out of the water? We'll for sure die. We'll for sure be in the throes of death. Because what other meaning is there in life besides for a life of Torah? This is the mashal that Rabbi Akiva gave to Pappus ben Yehuda to tell him why he was learning Torah despite the decrees of the Romans that said no more Torah learning. So over Shavuos, my son Yitzchak Yonatan, who's in 8th grade in Yeshiva Darchi Torah, said in a very short form of this Dvar Torah, about quoting the Gemara inside, I went to look it up after, he said that there's a Gemara that says that Jews without Torah are compared to fish without water. So I didn't know the whole Gemara inside. I went to look it up to find the source. And my son said a beautiful vart. He heard this from Rabbi Soroka, his 8th grade rabbi. Why are Jews without Torah compared to fish without water? Why not saying a shark without a fin, a dog without a tail, an elephant without a tusk, a bird without wings? Why are we compared to fish out of water? And the answer he gave is very, very beautiful. When you take a fish out of water, and it's on the dry land, it's on the yabasha, like the fox said, the shu'al said, it looks like it's very much alive. The fish starts flopping around, the fish is dancing, the fish is jumping. It looks like it's geschmack out here. You take it out of water, you know, it might just be hiding in the corner of the fish tank, and now it falls out of the fish tank, and it lands on your floor, and it lands on your carpet. Now, all of a sudden, it's dancing around. It looks like it's having the time of its life. Really, what looks like the time of his life, that fish is not having the time of his life. He's in the throes of death. So too, a Jew who does not have Torah in his life. It might look like he's living it up. It might look like everything is wonderful. It might look like he has a great life. He's dancing and he's jumping and he's amassing and he has a fortune and he's flopping all over the place. It's a great life. But the reality is what looks like life for that Jew is really not life. It's really death. A Jew without Torah is like a fish without water because it's just a facade. When the fish is jumping on, you take someone who doesn't know anything about fish and you show them that fish, and that person might say, that fish is having a great time. Look at it, Oliver, if you've ever seen brown bears hunting in the Alaskan rivers by the time of the salmon run. So when sometimes the salmon get out of the water before the bear gets in, they're flopping all over the place. But really what they're doing is dying. And that's what we have to remember, and that's what we have to understand. These past few months, I've been reminding myself many, many times of the truism of Chazal's teaching, that this world is only an antechamber. I keep saying to myself, Michal, this is not the real world. This is the preparation for the real world. And the only way you get into the real world, haskein atzmecha bepruzdor, you have to prepare yourself in the hallway, kadesh tikanis, so you will have access to, so you will have entry to. How are you going to get into the real world if you don't prepare down here? And the only way we can prepare down here, Rabbi Akiva said to Pappus, is remembering that a fish must stay in water. Because a fish out of water is not living. A fish out of water is dying. It's a beautiful word. I thank my son very much for saying it over at the table because it's really tremendous. It reminds me very much of the bracha that we give to the Na'arim, okay? And we have the Aliyah for all the children on Simchas Torah. We have the famous song. We have a famous bracha that we continue to give to doros of Jewish children. And Yaakov Avinu said, of course, I'm sure you all know what I am referring to, at the end of his life, Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed, it's in Parshas Vayechi, and he calls his children and he gives all the Shvatim a different bracha. He also speaks to Yosef HaTzadik, and one thing that he says, Vayivarech es Yosef Vayomer, I'm in Perek Mem Ches of Bereishis, Pasuk Tasvav. And Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed blessed Yosef, and he said, Ha'elokim asher hishalchu avosei lefanav, the God before whom my forefathers walked, Avraham v'Yitzchak, my forefathers Avraham and Yitzchak walked before God, Ha'elokim haroa osimeo odi arayam hazeh, the God who has been my shepherd from before, from the beginning of my existence to today. What is the bracha? He gives Yosef, which is the bracha for his children, Hamalach HaGoel Osim Bikol Ra, the angel that protects me from all bad, Yavarech Es HaNa'arim, he should bless these lads, V'yikarei Vahem Shemi, he should call them in my name, Yaakov, V'shem Avosai, the name of my fathers, Avram V'Yitzchak, so he's giving a blessing that these Jewish children, who are Golas children, Menashe and Ephraim were born in Mitzrayim, they were bred in Mitzrayim, they died in Mitzrayim. Their existence is comparable to many of the existence of all of us, in terms of at least myself. I am a Chutz La'aretz Jew, and these were Chutz La'aretz Jews. And Yaakov Avinu was saying that even in Chutz La'aretz, they should go in the ways of myself, Torah, Yaakov, Ish, Tam, Yoshev, Ohalim, and my forefathers, Avram, Gemilas, Chasadim, and Yitzchak, Avoda, Korbanos, / Tefillah, V'yidgu, Larov, Bekerav Haaretz. And that is a very strange phrase. They should multiply v'yidgu. So why don't you say v'yifru v'yirbu? They should be fruitful and multiply. When the Torah talks about being fruitful and multiplying, so it uses the words pru, from fruit, urevu, be many, from rove. So why does Yaakov Avinu not say to them v'yidgu l'rav b'kerav haaretz, v'yifru, it would make sense, v'yirbu, b'nei Yisrael paru, v'yishrutu, v'yirbu, v'yatzmu b'od me'od, v'atzimah l'eretz osem? What kind of weird bracha is it? Excuse me, I didn't mean that in a negative way. Unusual, I should say, bracha. That Yaakov Avinu says that every Jew through all time should be blessed in the name of me and my forefathers, v'yidgu. Now the Shoresh is obviously dag, fish. La'rov, they should multiply like fish. They should be as many as the fish in the midst of the land. So interesting, interesting bracha that we do not see anywhere else really besides for this one instance. And when my son said this word over at the table, and then I went to look up the Gemara, I wanted to see inside exactly what the Gemara says. This piece of Gemara reminded me of the bracha of Yaakov Avinu, because here we have once again a parable where Jews are compared, Am Yisrael, the Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael literally, are compared to what? Dagim, fish. So I'm going to quote from Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch's commentary on Chumash. Again, so V'yidgul Rebbe Kerva Arts, it's Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Parshas Vayichi. So yeah, Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch says, V'yidgu larov b'kerav haaretz. Once again, I have to look in the Chumash, I'll look at you, so I'm going to do my best. The word daga does not recur in scripture, except as the root of dag, fish. Sometimes you have a root, a shoresh, that means two different things. Siach hasadeh term yebaret. Siach, Bereishis 2:5, is plants, and siach is also prayer, Bereishis 24:63. So you have a whole lesson as to why siach means plants and prayer. There's a beautiful connection there. Now for today's shir. So the word daga, however, does not recur in scripture except as the root of dag, fish. There is no other usage of dag. It's not like siach hasadeh means plants and lasuach basada means tefillah. No. It only means vayavrech et hagmalim, means to cause the camels to kneel, and barech also means to bless. But when it comes to dog, it has one meaning, it means fish. So Yaakov Avinu is clearly saying, you should be like fish. And again, this is very reminiscent of the Gemara and Rabbi Akiva's teaching. Of course, Yaakov Avinu precedes Rabbi Akiva. So, Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch says, through this denotation, it conveys the deep significance of Yaakov Avinu's blessing. What is Yaakov saying? Teaching us what it means to participate in the fate of Yaakov. Teaching us what it means to be called the Bnei Yaakov, the Bnei Yisrael. This teaches us, v'yidgu larov, we should be like fish, many like fish, what it means to walk before God. Before whom the patriarchs walked. Remember the introductory pasuk, and I read it to you, is he blessed Yosef and he said, the God before whom my fathers walked before him, Avram and Yitzchak. And I am bringing in to today's shir Mishnah Avos, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, because I think that the only thing we have to remember to ourselves is a life of Torah, Vog, Milas, Chasadim. Each one compares to one of the patriarchs who held up our world and who leave us with that legacy. And Yaakov Avinu says, God before whom the patriarchs, before whom my fathers walked. This phrase, V'yidgu l'rov, teaches us, says Rav Hirsch, what it means to be sustained by Hashem, to be redeemed by Hashem. So before I tell you what Rav Shamsher Fral Hirsch says it means, let's talk about for a couple minutes why Jews are compared to fish in water. So the first vart we gave, we quoted the Gemara, and then we quoted my son in the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Soroka, which is that a Jew without Torah may look like he is living it up. He chas v'sham, he doesn't keep Shabbos. He drinks whatever wine he wants. He listens to whatever kind of music he wants. He looks like he's having the time of his life. What a person has to know is it's a spiritual death. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva said to Papas Ben Yehuda, we should come out of the water. We have enough fears in the water, but the water is Orech Yameinu Achayeinu. I should come out of the water. That's the first reason. Another reason we're compared to fish, perhaps, is because fish swim in schools. Hey, there's beautiful, beautiful elements in the Maisa Bereishis and the world that the Ribbono Shel Olam created. And fish are not solitary creatures. Fish swim in schools. And it's a very important lesson for us. We just had Shavuos, Man Maton Torasinu, and we spoke so much about Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ha'har Kish Echad, Belev Echad. Shemos 19:2 with Rashi over there, that we have to be like one, that our greatest strength comes in numbers. When we recognize that we must swim in schools, we have to be together with each other, because that is our greatest protection against the Umos Ha'olam. And it's another very important lesson to learn from the fish. When they are solitary in the water, they are much more prone to be eaten by predators. But when you're in a school, then you are more guaranteed of survival. And that's another lesson that we have to take from the fish. To stay together. Do we have any friends in this world? I ask you, yes, there are some righteous from the Umos Ha'olam. There are some Tzaddiki Umos Ha'olam in general, and I know there are exceptions to every rule. And you look around the world today, and you see it. You see it. We have each other. And we have to remember that that's our greatest strength. Be like the fish. Stick together. Cling together. That's your protection. If I come out of the water, it's each fish to himself. If I'm in the water, it's all fish together. Going back, so another beautiful nakuda to keep in mind, a lesson about the fish in the Bnei Yisrael. Now I'm quoting from Avsham Sharfal Hirsch, who explains the significance of V'yidgu l'rov bekerv ha'aretz, why Yaakov Avinu said that we should be like fish. In their own separate element, says Rav Hirsch, in depths imperceptible to the human eye. Okay, if you would go and you stand on the shores of the, if you stand on the Atlantic Beach boardwalk, which I think today is closed up, but if you would look under the water, you can't see what's happening under the water. You just see water. What's happening down there, actually, hopefully there's not too much pollution and the fish in there could survive, is that there is a lot of life in their own separate element, in depths imperceptible to the human eye, says Rav Hirsch. Fish live their quiet lives. People standing on the shore are unaware. They have no idea of the carefree, vibrant, contented life going on below in rich abundance from generation to generation. That's something else about fish. They are so abundant. Generally, I'm not talking about the mammals who live in the water like the whales, but generally fish give birth to many, many eggs at once. They are in rich abundance. And that's another bracha for Bnei Yisrael. We should be so richly abundant from generation to generation. Similarly, says Rav Hirsch, the family of Yaakov Avinu shall lead their own independent, quiet and fulfilling lives. We should lead our own independent, quiet and fulfilling lives. We shall live bekeretz haaretz. We are not fish who live in the water. Am Yisrael lives in the earth. We live bekeretz haaretz, on the land. We live amongst umos haolam. But while we live on the land, we should remember that we should be like fish who have their own life, a fulfilling life. We must live bekerav ha'aretz in our own separate element. We must live in an element impenetrable and unfathomable to the world around us. Just like fish live in an existence that we cannot understand. It's funny because I'm sitting in right next to a fish tank, actually. You want to see? It's true. Story. You see? The fish are making an appearance. They're in a different corner. Oh, well. Okay, but you see, I'm like mom's next to a fish tank. That's not why I chose this year. I didn't know where I was going to be when I prepared shir this morning. But just like I can't, let me see if I can show them to you. Oh, you can see. Okay, perfect backdrop for the shir. So just like I can't understand how they live, so the Ummah Sa'olam should look at us and say, how do they live? What is their existence? What's the secret to their survival? You put me in the water and I'm going to drown, chas v'shalom. You put a fish in water and it's life. You put a Jew into Torah and they're alive. You take a Jew out of Torah and they are in the throes of death. Says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, we should lead our own independent, quiet and fulfilling lives. We shall live bekarav ha'aretz, in our own separate element, in an element impenetrable and unfathomable to the world around. The world cannot imagine and cannot understand our way of life. But we know that it's the only true life that will bring us to the Olam HaEmes. Because I've been being mechazik myself, you should know. I'm being mechazik myself these past few months, reminding myself, this is not the real world. But this water that we are in is like the embryonic water in which a fetus is formed. The fetus cannot form, cannot prepare for this world without being formed in the embryonic waters. And in the water, whatever the what's called, the amniotic fluid, in which the mother grows the baby. That's what this world is. We are in an existence. Ein mayim ela Torah, Maseches Avodah Zarah 5b. We're an existence of Torah living. We're an existence of swimming like fish, because we have to remember we're like the school of fish. We have to remember that if you take us out of that achdus, we're our own greatest enemy. You have to remember that it may look like life, but it's really death. And you have to remember, says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, that the Ummah Sa'olam can't understand our ways. Just like you look at the top of the sea and you see nothing. They look and they don't understand what gives us life, but we know we live a quiet, independent, fulfilling life that is unfathomable to the world around us. We shall live like fish in the water in the midst of mankind on earth. This is our grace. Maybe that's why we can fill the fish on Shabbos. That's a joke. Okay, I'm just going to end the shiur today. It wasn't funny, nobody's laughing. Okay. I'm just going to end the shiur by quoting from Rav Yaakov Edelstein. I'm quoting from the biography called Reaching to Heaven, Rav Yaakov Edelstein, art scroll by Yedidia Meir and Sivan Rachav Meir. So Rav Yaakov Edelstein, Zatzal, his brother Shlita, is Rav Gershon Edelstein, the Rosh Hashiva at Panovitz, one of the Gedolei Torah of our generation, the Gedolei Hadar. So Rav Yaakov Edelstein was the Rav in Ramat HaSharon, the community of Ramat HaSharon in Eretz Yisrael. When Rav Edelstein taught Parshas Vayigash, he would discuss how Yehuda descended to Egypt. And the first thing we all know that Yaakov sent Yehuda to do, as Yehuda shalach lefanav, geshona lahoros lefanav. Why did Yaakov Avinu send Yehuda before Yaakov himself descended? Because he said, if I have to be in Chutzarts, if I have to be in Golos, we cannot exist. Lahoros lefanav. He sent him to set up a base Talmud, a yeshiva. Rav Yaakov Edelstein would teach, even before Yaakov Avinu had a place to live, before he had a bed in which to sleep, he vowed he would have a place where he could learn Torah. Torah study was the foundation. It was the first thing that was required when the Jews come to Chutz La'aretz. Torah study is the foundation. And that's what Rabbi Akiva said to Pappas Ben Yehuda, I should take myself out of Torah. I should listen to the Romans over the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is in countries where the study of Torah slackened, said Rav Edelstein, that there was the greatest assimilation. This is very powerful. Listen to this last piece. People told themselves, it's okay if the children don't learn Torah, but they will still put on tefillin, they will still keep Shabbos, they will still daven. Teaches Rav Yaakov Edelstein, tefillin, Shabbos, tefillah, all of our mitzvos will not endure without Torah study. So the first thing I did in Ramat HaSharon, says Rav Yaakov Edelstein, was to open the yeshiva. If we think we can pass on the Mesorah, V'yidgula B'kerv Ha'aretz, Yivarech Esan Ha'arim, from generation to generation, we cannot pass on the Mesorah of Torah. I'm sorry, we cannot pass on the Mesorah of Tefillah, Gemilas Chasadim, of Asiyas HaMitzvos, without understanding that our whole life force is the water in which we swim. Ein Torah, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. We are like fish in water. If you take us out of water, we're not in the throes of life. We are, Rachman al Itzan, in the throes of spiritual death. Rav Yaakov Edelstein said, tefillin, Shabbos, tefillah will not endure without Torah learning. And of course, Rabbi Akiva, true to his word, left us one of the greatest legacies, which is the understanding, kihem chayenu, v'orech yaminu. I wish you all a wonderful day. I thank you all for learning with me. This shiur should be an aliyah neshama for Tzvi ben Yitzchak Meir HaKohen, whose yahrzeit is today. Allah.